And we are back. Welcome, guys, to a new season of The Weekend Hangover. Since we're all back in Oxford together, we decided it would make sense to start a second season. That being said, we also decided to have a guest on our podcast this week, our housemate and beloved friend, Sean Hyde.
Thank you for letting me be on. I've enjoyed the first season and excited for what season two will bring.
All right. Now let's get into it. Start off sports per usual. First category, NBA lottery recently happened this Thursday. Some crazy things happened. Do you guys think the NBA lottery is broken? And what do you guys think about what happened this past Thursday?
Well, I don't understand why you think it's broken. I mean, Minnesota had they were the number one team to get the number one pick. Highest odds, I believe. Golden State, number two. Cleveland was the team that I think was number three, but they dropped.
Golden State, Minnesota, and Cleveland all the same odds.
Yeah, but Minnesota was one in that they were first. Golden State was two.
I think Cleveland was two.
Cleveland was two. It was Golden State had the worst record than Cleveland and Minnesota.
Oh.
But it doesn't matter. It's all the same record.
Okay, so they all have 14% shot.
Yeah, so I'm just saying it's broken because the Cavs got the sixth seed, or the sixth pick. And they're
fifth pick.
The fifth pick.
Fact check,
fifth pick. Fifth pick, but they got screwed out. They dropped two picks at, you know. And then also New York kind of got screwed. They dropped two picks as well. And the Bulls hopped up, what, two, three picks? So,
yeah.
I mean, it does prevent tanking, I know. But there's something's got to change because at least I feel bad for Knicks fans. They get screwed every year.
You also deal with the situation that we had last year with New Orleans. Did they have the eighth worst record and they got the number one pick?
Yeah. Doesn't really make any sense. And then they got to draft a star and he looked pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that? Sean, Kyle?
I think in some instances, it could definitely be a big deal, too. Like Austin mentioned, what happened last year. I mean, we had the fifth pick last year, I believe, too, which, I mean, at the surface doesn't seem bad. You know, if you have, like, the third worst record, you're only dropping two spots. But it can make a big difference. I mean, we got Darius Garland instead of possibly Zion Williamson or Ja Morant, which I think could have very big implications. So a couple spots can mean a lot, typically. Not necessarily this year as much, but definitely in the past, I think it could have. But the Cavs have also been helped by it in the past. I think there's been times where we had, like, very small chances of getting, like, the top pick. And
we end up getting the one seed.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I also think, you know, weak draft class like it is this year, it's not a huge deal to drop a couple of spots. I know, obviously, I think you alluded to it being fixed or rigged, which I think it has been in the past. I know there was that one, I think it was the 84 draft with Ewing and the folded card, yeah. But I think it is fixed. The only thing that makes me think maybe not is New York just never gets the top pick when they should, especially if the NBA wants them to get like a Zion or a LaMelo.
Makes them more money, so you would think they would do
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So I don't know. But in a weak draft class like it is this year, I don't think it's – and there's no clear-cut number one pick that everyone thinks is the best guy. I think it's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
not a bad thing to
besides
drop.
Like the point about what happened in the lottery, do you guys have any predictions for the order? Who's going to go first? Who you think the Cavs will pick?
I think the order is a bit up in the air just because – Golden State, for example, with the two pick, I mean, they had some guys injured, and some of, I think, the top, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, I mean, are guards, and I don't necessarily know, I mean, they could always change up the lineup, but I don't necessarily know that that'd be a need of Golden State. At the same time, though, Wiseman is a big man, and they kind of play smaller ball, so I don't know if that'd be a great pick for them. I kind of hope the Cavs get Obi Toppin, potentially. I think he might be the best fit in terms of... It seems what the Cavs are trying to do is get shooters based on what they've drafted recently. I know Dylan Windler, who never played at all last year, I think is supposed to be a really good shooter.
You got Porter, who's not too bad either.
I think Garland's supposed to be a really good shooter. Toppin is more... I think Toppin was a pretty good shooter from three last year. I think he's a guy that's more the future of the NBA in terms of where it's going. I think guys who are long, and I don't know if he's a great defender, but certainly guys who are long and can shoot, I think, is something the Cavs should get, especially since they've drafted guards the past two drafts. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I kind of want them to get Toppin as well. I think he's, like you said, lengthy, kind of versatile. He can do a lot of things, as we saw him at Dayton. I would say he's kind of comparable to Tatum, I think. Both shooters. I think he can drive pretty well and handle the ball somewhat decently. But yeah, I know a lot of people think, I got a couple friends who think the Warriors might take LaMelo Ball, but I don't think that would make sense either. Like you said, they have Curry and Klay. I guess if they really wanted to stretch it, you could put LaMelo at the 2 or 3 and put Klay at the other spot. But I think in that situation, there's only one ball, and a lot of people need the ball on that team for them to have success if that happened.
I could see the Warriors actually going Toppin if that's what you just said. They don't want a big man to really lock down that core. They want to play small ball. Obi Toppin fits right in. You can play him at the 4 or even the 5 if you want to play a true small ball lineup. So Toppin seems like on paper would be a good fit with the Warriors. But with the Cavs, if Toppin's off the board, there's a foreign guy, Denny Avdija, I think from Israel, I believe. I think he's a shooter, and he's a wing. You play the 2 or the 3 at, I think, 6'8". So that would be maybe another fit if Toppin's off the board.
Bringing up small ball lineups, do you think they work in the NBA? Has there been proven success on it?
We have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, the Houston Rockets, proving that small ball does indeed work and can be.
But,
many teams.
In the past, though, has it worked? Has there been any championship teams recently? They had big men.
A lot of times they have Green at their 5.
Think it'll be able to work, though? Like, is that going
to
be the new trend?
Well, you need to have shooters. If you're playing small ball line, you need to have shooters.
I think it works if you have that model of guys who can play both ways. I think you need guys, and who are long, too. Like, the Celtics with, like, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, like, guys like that who can shoot, but then are also willing to play defense. And like he said with the Warriors, I mean, you had Andre Iguodala, who's, you know, he's got decent side and length, but he can guard, you know, he was guarding LeBron. Like, they're very versatile.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for that first topic. Next, I'm going to stay with the NBA. Playoffs going on right now, the first round, a couple of series have ended. What do you guys think so far, the playoffs? Any other predictions on who you think is going to get to the finals? Any stunners so far, dark horses that you think could make a run?
I'd start off with my prediction from last week. I think the Celtics look strong so far in the playoffs. Swept the Sixers. I don't think this is likely, but we saw today the Mavericks were able to beat the Clippers. So series is now 2-2. I don't know if that lasts. I don't know if that can last. Kawhi Leonard might just take it up a gear and truly just take over an entire game. But Mavericks look decent right now. Nuggets have been disappointing for the most part. Jazz have been taking it to them almost every single game. So, yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with my pick out of the East, the Raptors. Although they played pretty beaten up and kind of not so good Nets team, they perform pretty well defensively, and I think that's going to be one of their strong suits if they want to make it to the finals from the East. They're going to have to go through Celtics, and then they might even have to go through the Bucks, so they're going to need to play some pretty stingy defense in order to get there, I think. From the West, though, I haven't really seen a team that stuck out to me as a top contender that can really prove that they're the team to beat. Like you said, the Clippers and Mavs are now tied 2-2, and the Lakers haven't reached. I mean, they've been playing okay, but they haven't shown that they're really a huge threat out of the West. And I know we talked about it, they don't really have a defined third guy. They have AD and LeBron. There's not really a third guy who can really be a good scoring option for them. And then I guess the Clippers, I think they're going to win the series, but Paul George is going to have to show up for them if they're going to want to advance on in later rounds. I don't think Kawhi can do it all by himself because it's another thing. They don't really have – I mean, they do have Lou Williams off the bench and Harrell pretty solid, but I'm not sure if they can be consistent and contribute when every single – I mean, in the first 4 games, Paul George has been trash in 3 or 4 of the games. So they're going to need some help there. Sean, you have anything to say, or Austin?
Yeah, I would say – I think the Clippers were kind of regarded as probably the favorite. The Paul George play has been concerning. The fact Mavericks have a pretty good team. The fact that that series is 2-2 is definitely a bit alarming. Although the West, I would say, has been interesting to me. I thought the Nuggets were definitely a team that can make a pretty deep run. I'm starting to think the Jazz are probably, I think, have a pretty good chance to win that series. I've been really impressed. He's not someone I watch or a team I watch a lot, but the play of Donovan Mitchell has been pretty incredible. Obviously, the 57-point game the other day. I think they're. That's a good series. I think I'm really looking forward to the Celtics Raptors series next round. I think that'll be very competitive. I think it'll go 7 games. The injury to Kyle Lowry will be something interesting to watch. I don't know how serious that was. Raptors will definitely need him. I think he's their leader. But yeah, that'll be very competitive. I was surprised the Celtics swept the 76ers. I was telling these guys earlier today, and I'm predicting this now. I think either Embiid or Simmons will be traded this offseason. So there's a prediction for you.
Here's another thing. Do you think the Celtics need Hayward?
I don't think they need Hayward as much. I think he's a solid player. He's definitely not one of their top options, in my opinion. He's not, they talk about guys that make your team go or heart of the team. I definitely think, Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum are more important to that team. I think, Raptors have other good players. Siakam, I think, the best player on that team, but I think Kyle Lowry is the heart of the Raptors.
I think he's kind of a leader. He plays more of a leader role than Siakam. He can rally the troops behind something if they want to, try to get going in games. If they're down, try to bring them back.
Yeah, he's experienced.
Yeah, I'd agree with Sean on that point, especially talking about the Raptors versus the Celtics. I think that'll be probably the most competitive series we'll see until the finals matchup. But one thing that worries me, David, you talked about the Raptors having pretty solid defense. They did give up 122 points. I know it was a blowout victory, but
They pulled a lot of their starters too in the fourth, so.
Correct. And most of their bench players scored points for that game, so you have to take it both ways. But I think that'll be very close. Again, agree with Sean, game 7. Clippers and Mavs. Clippers will take that series, I think, in 6 or 7.
Do you think the Heat are a threat at all? Do you think they can? I don't know. The Milwaukee has looked okay, but they haven't looked that amazing to me. They have struggled a little bit against the Magic. I think they're going to win the series in 5 or 6, but
mm-hmm.
Are the Heat a threat at all?
I always think that the Indiana Pacers are overrated, so I think the Heat should sweep them, and I don't think they'll cause too many problems with the Bucks and Giannis.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's move on to our last topic here of sports. Kind of a general statement here, but it was related to an incident that happened earlier this week with the Cincinnati Reds announcer. Said something on air. He didn't realize it was on air, hot mic, that he shouldn't have said, and he got suspended for it. Kind of going with that question at hand here was, do announcers get away with shit talking when they're not on the air? Thoughts?
I would say so. I don't know if they go as far as saying like homophobic like slurs about the city that they're in, but I'd say I think Sean brought this point earlier that they're like, if there's like a really like in baseball, if there's like a bad inning, like if teams are like, if the team's not like on a slump or something, they can't hit, I'm sure they say this team, like, I don't even know what they would say, but like they probably trash the team, honestly. But then like once they get back on the mic, they have to be professional about it. So I bet they get out some of their frustration like between innings, but I don't know how far they actually go with it, because they do still have to be professional with it.
Because I feel like some announcers are like, I think, are pretty loyal to the team they announce for, and I don't know. I think sometimes they get mad about it, but I feel like there's some announcers that are kind of they kind of ride with their team, and they don't really talk crap about them. Like I know the Cavs announcers, Austin Carr, then late Fred McLeod passed away, but it seemed like they love the team and they like treat it like it was their family. I guess basketball might be a little different than other sports, but I don't know. I don't think they really ever shit talk the team really that much.
Well, one point to that is when you're super invested in a team and they do poorly, you might insult some players just out of frustration, even though you do consider yourself a part of that team.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We watch, like, every game, and we get very upset pretty much every inning, honestly. But we still, even if they were bad, like, we'd still watch a bunch. So it's just, I think when you're, and it, I think with announcers, I think most parts, maybe it's not so much personal attacks, but if a team's struggling, I'm sure, like, they get upset because, like, they have to keep coming to the ballpark and stuff, and they want to see the team do well. I don't think it's, like, personal attacks, like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit or something, but it's like, oh, that was not a great, you know, they might not say it, you know, in this way, but they might say, like, oh, that wasn't a good at bat or something like that when they're not on the air. Some, I mean, and even still, I think there might be some personal, we saw the thing, Tony Grossi in Cleveland called Baker Mayfield a midget, threw another word in there too. But yeah, I think there's definitely some of it that probably doesn't get caught.
And here's another thing I kind of was thinking about. So you have announcers or whatever that are like announcing games, but you also have like analysts who go on and talk like crap about players. Like, do you think they've said things before that could have or potentially got them suspended? I don't know. I mean, there's, I can't think of anyone specifically who's said anything, but like, you know, you got Charles Barkley and Shaq. Like, I know Shaq said some sketchy things before on Inside the NBA that he shouldn't have said, probably, and gets away with it. And, like, even Skip Bayless or Stephen A. or Shannon Sharp, like, I feel like sometimes they may say stuff that no one really knows and it's behind the scenes. Or they, you know, play an act.
Maybe. I think the more popular guys have to be pretty careful because they ultimately need the respect of players in order and coaches to get information. So I think the bigger guys are definitely careful and they're pretty experienced. So I think, I mean, I've seen a couple of Stephen A interviews like off the air with, I saw one with like Snoop Dogg where like he was saying some pretty random stuff. But I think for the most part, like when they're on air dealing with players or coaches, they're pretty polished. But although there was a situation, this wasn't, again, maybe as a polished guy. It was like the, if you remember, the Oklahoma City Thunder play-by-play announcer said the racial thing about Russell Westbrook. So there is another situation where maybe just slip of tongue or just straight-up poor judgment.
I think that happened in hockey, too. I don't remember it, but I think something like that happened in the NHL where an announcer said something that he should not have said and got in trouble and just got suspended.
Well, I think like the last thing is, like, a lot of these announcers have that connection with players. They actually know the players, and they've talked with them, and maybe they're even, you know, friends when they're not, you know, announcing and they're playing. So, obviously, it's tough to shit-talk someone when you know the guy, I guess. Like, it's easy for us to say that
that Harden's a fraud.
Or Harden's a fraud, or, I don't know, one of the Indians, Bo Taylor, can't hit if his life depended on it because you don't know the guy. All you know is you watch him play for 2 to 3 hours a day. So you can just say that and throw that around, I guess.
He'd have to be a hell of a guy for me to still not think that if I met him, but
yeah. All right, I think
Yeah. All right, so now back onto our next topic. This one's going to be a fun one. We bring back the hot seat, which is where we will grill one of our hosts. This time around, it's going to be David. And we have prepared about, right around, I'd say, 10 questions for David. And he is going to answer them to the best of his ability. And hopefully he doesn't say anything stupid. So, let's get ready.
I just want to kick this off with an office quote. I know, Kyle, you are a fan of the show, as am I.
Yes.
But first question for David, why are you the way that you are?
Can I get a little more description on that?
No. Just what? How did you become you?
Well, you see, on a late night back in August in 1999, 1998.
You were born in July.
You
were born in June.
He's talking about his conception. Yes. He's taking it all the way back.
Was it 1998?
This is like so.
Yeah, 98.
Since the dawn of
man. Said 99.
No, I switched it. 98. Back in 1998, I actually believe it was October. Yes, because I was 2 months early. Back in October.
That explains. That's 100%. Yeah, okay, that explains it.
That might get you
yes.
some. That might get you some there. Anyways, so I was conceived then and popped out as a triplet, as you guys know.
Also can contribute. He might have lost.
Sisters yeah, might have got
sisters
the smarts.
Took some of whatever he needs. So.
Yeah, so there you go right there. I guess born 2 months early, but a lot of people were born early, so. Not maybe not that early, but it's different because, you know.
I would argue your story goes back farther than that, too, since you're the fourth. So, really, you should start with the beginning of the David J. Workums.
I'm good. Well, that'll be another day.
Sounds good. All right, moving on to our second question. What has been the most formative event of your life thus far?
Can you explain a little more?
What... Like, is there a certain moment or just general maybe time period or, like, thing, like a baseball season or something that has shaped you, do you think, into the person you are today?
I guess we'll go with what I, you know, the first thought. I would probably say in 2016, the Cleveland Cavaliers came back from a 3-1 deficit.
But
what?
How does that make you...
Maybe you taught him, like, perseverance.
Yeah.
Perseverance?
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta think... I gotta think on the spot here.
But you don't persevere.
No, see, here's
anything.
The thing. The Cavs kind of, like, cheesed their way and got it done against...
You are talking to the master cheeser right now.
You're not.
You don't have
You aren't a cheeser.
Cheese. I've given you all your cheese.
Incorrect. That sounds
maybe,
very
yeah,
interesting there.
Wrong.
Anyways, I guess that and then watching... But also watching the Indians blow a 3-1 lead made me realize that things can slip away at any moment. So you gotta kind of seize the opportunities you get in life.
Carpe diem.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Seize the day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything less. Those were spot on answers.
Of course, always.
So kind of going along this same train, yeah, I think it's important to get deep on this podcast. So, where do you see yourself in 5 years, and then kind of conversely or in that same light, you know, if you were to go back 5 years, would you see yourself being anywhere near where you are today?
All right, so I'll answer the first part of that question. Where do I see myself in the next 5 years? Well, I hope to see myself either working with some sports team or even in business.
Speaking to the mic.
I am speaking into
Mike. You're looking at Dylan right now. But keep
going. I'm thinking.
Okay.
So I'd either like to see myself working for a sports team, whether it be collegiate, professional, or even lower level team, or working... What'd you say?
No, don't worry about it. Just keep on going.
Oh, or working for some business in their management office, or just doing something preferably related to sports, but if not, it would be okay working in business. And then, you know, maybe thinking about getting married, maybe not 5 years from now, because that's a little early, but trying to establish myself in that being. And then flipping to the other part of the question, 5 years ago, did you see yourself being where you currently are? No, I don't think any of us really thought we would be here, what we're doing right now 5 years ago. We were all in high school as juniors. And
Do you think you were naive and innocent like I was back then?
Yeah, I would say so. I didn't really know everything, what college would bring. Kind of didn't hit me, but it, you know, built character on the last 4 years I've been here, three years and so.
Do you think it's been positive character? Because I know mine's not.
I think it goes both ways. I think there's been some positives and negatives. It's kind of how life goes.
Can you describe one negative?
One negative?
Yeah, that college has brought you.
Distractions. Been a lot of distractions. Probably procrastinating a lot more than I wish I would have. But positives is some of those distractions lead to memories.
Yep.
So it goes both ways.
One thing I want to follow up with that on is you mentioned marriage, and you know,
I said maybe. That,
maybe, correct.
Do you think that'll be to a woman or man?
I believe it's...
Or a thing.
Not a thing. Definitely not a thing.
Okay, just making sure.
A woman.
Woman? Okay. And, well...
Oh, wait. Wait.
No, we're asking... We yeah. asked the question.
I was just...
I was trying to... Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't asked my question yet, but you gave a time span of 5 years.
I said maybe.
Correct. Maybe so 5 years.
I said try to settle in. So,
yeah,
finding a woman.
Can I ask my question? Go ahead. I'm just going to ask if you think you've met that person yet.
No.
No. Okay.
I do not think so.
Interesting.
Don't think I met that person yet, but maybe hopefully in the next 5 years I'll be able to find that person, or maybe even longer than that. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'll have that love at first sight moment.
Is that what your moment's been like? Or?
I would say maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I'll be on the hot seat another time. We can dive into that. So for those of you who don't know, David was actually, and still might be considered, an incredible athlete. He played 3 sports in high school, which is pretty insane. He played basketball, baseball, and golf. So my question would be, well, I kind of have 2 in this. What would you say your favorite sport to play is, and what would you say your best sport is?
My favorite play of my high school career, probably not more towards me, it was towards the team aspect. I would say baseball, junior year, us being able to go make a pretty deep run into the tournament when no one really thought we were about 500 team. We upset a couple of teams and getting to the Elite Eight, I believe, and then unfortunately got bounced out. So that was probably one of the, you know, kind of growing and getting to know my teammates a little bit more. And then, what was the other question you said?
What sport would you say you were best at?
In high school, and still today, I would say golf, definitely.
Yeah, you're a pretty good golfer.
Yeah,
I caddied for him last week.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
he crushed all the other people, including Kyle and Austin. Maybe it was because I was caddying, or maybe it's just
because
he's really
good. I think
that's
a bonus.
Good. But...
Yeah.
Thank you. So to kind of continue on to that, how many times were you ejected in your sports career, and explain what happened? David, I am not including you rage quitting out of a Call of Duty game. So do not include those times.
That wouldn't be ejected.
You kind of ejected yourself. So do not include that, but in an actual sport. Cause
is this just in high school, or is this just like all time?
How would you have not been ejected?
I'm just asking the question.
This is all time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to, you know, get your hopes up, but no, I wasn't ejected ever before high school.
Can you? Do you have a close experience then?
Before high school?
Was there a close call on your T-ball league?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But here, so first time I was ejected was sophomore year in high school. Playing baseball. Our team was up by a decent amount of runs, I'm not going to lie. We were up, I think, like 7-8 runs in the game. But anyways, I was up, you know, I think I was one for two or 1 for 3 on the day. I was playing okay. And there was it was a 3-0 count, and a ball hit in the other batter's box in the dirt. It was a curveball. And the ump called it a strike. I looked back at the ump and just stared at him and turned back around. Whatever. Next pitch comes, my opinion, ball is inside. He calls it a strike again. I turn around and look at him and say, are you kidding me? That was 6 inches, a foot inside. He said, no, it wasn't. It was a strike. Turned back around, proceeded to have the at-bat. 3-2 count, you know? Either ball 4, base hit here. Well, pretty much what happened in the 3-0 count happened in the 3-2 count. The ball hit the dirt on the other side of the batter's box, and the guy rung me up for strike 3. Turned around, flipped my bat at him, and said, that's fucking ridiculous. And then the guy said, what'd you say to me? And I said, that's fucking ridiculous again. And he looked at me and said, you're gone. And I shook my head and like slammed my helmet on the ground and walked off to my bench.
You said you never got ejected from my game.
No, I said I did. I said, you guys asked before high school.
You didn't get ejected before high school.
Before high school.
That's true.
I think you got ejected a plethora of times in high school.
And then obviously can't really get ejected in golf, so that didn't ever happen.
Probably saved.
That'd be pretty tough. There was one time I fucking like slammed my club on the ground though and broke my the head off my driver in the tournament. That was pretty interesting. And then another time, baseball's junior year, we're playing in the game. This kind of wasn't like, I didn't really do anything that bad to get ejected, but I was rounding third coming into home, and you have to, in high school baseball, you have to slide like feet first unless you're diving back into a base, and I slid head first into home, and I got ejected automatically for that. So that wasn't really, I didn't follow the rule, I guess, so that was my fault, but that wasn't that, you know, dramatic or a big thing.
To go along on that one, are you a rules guy? Do you listen to rules, or do you break the rules?
I mean, I think rules are meant to be broken, but...
Can you give an example?
That was kind of a joke, what happened there. But anyways, like I said...
So you follow the rules?
Yeah. I would say more so than not, I do follow the rules to things. I think everybody does break the rules at points. I think everyone in this room has broken a rule in their life.
Yeah, everyone can be a little naughty sometimes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think everybody has broken a rule in their life, but I say for the most part, I try to stick to, you know, rules and things like that. But that's it really for my ejections. Never got ejected in other sports. It's just baseball.
Would Santa put you on the naughty list or the nice list?
I was always on the nice list.
Good, good. Well, so we've known each other for about almost 4 years now, going back to freshman year. And during that time, you've gone to plenty of bars here in Oxford. So what is your favorite memory from New Bar or Chanks?
Either? Okay. Choose one of them or both?
Up to you.
There should be a pretty obvious memory of New Bar.
I think I'm going to go with Chanks here. Favorite memory, New Bar / Chanks, I'm going with Chanks. So it was a cold evening, sophomore year. Second semester.
Taking a turn.
And I believe we've already talked about this, but go ahead.
Anyways, one of my favorite memories was very funny, and I got to help out a friend. The friend being Austin. Gregory Crawford decided, finally, to call off school because there was a cold front coming through pretty much the entire northeastern part of the United States. And we decided to go out, I believe it was on a Tuesday night.
It was indeed Tuesday.
Yes. And whatever, we're having a good time out, and... friend Austin had a little too much to drink, let's just say. And I look over at him, and he is punching the wall of Chanks with his fists, acting like he's going to, like, fight the wall or something like that. And also being very, just a little belligerent. Anyways, that was pretty fun to see. Heard some stories from that night we're not going to mention on here. But ended up walking him back in the cold weather. We were slipping and sliding all over the ice. And then finally got him back to his... dorm room safely. So that was one of my favorite moments from New Bar / Chinks.
I think I can say fairly that I won that fight against the wall. But classic deflection from David there.
Sean, did you have a favorite memory on David's behalf from New
actually,
Bar?
Actually, I think
Chinks?
I'm on the hot seat, so you don't ask
the questions. I do ask the questions.
Maybe on another episode.
I do ask the questions.
I think it was classic. It was a good deflection.
He's just speaking
there.
For you. He's speaking for you.
No.
Sean, go
no,
ahead.
No.
He doesn't want me to say.
Yeah. I mean,
we've
asked me the question.
We've had a lot of good times at New Bar. I would say David and I have better times at New Bar than at Chanks, but those bars just, I know a lot of the listeners, maybe half and half, some Miami students, some not. New Bar and Chanks are, in a word, greasy. I would recommend either Brick or CJ's or Sidebar.
Or 68.
1868 is chill as well. Those bars, no, greasy. Anyways, sticking with drinking, can you explain how you are genetically superior that you cannot black out?
I don't think it's that I can't black out. I just haven't ever. I've looked up before, actually, if it's like not possible to, and there's just people sometimes who don't end up doing that. And I think maybe it's a little bit because of I don't drink as much liquor, and I think that might be a reason why you can black out, and I kind of stick to beer. That's kind of explanation there. But yeah.
Gotcha.
I know of other people's experiences blacking out. They kind of go hard on liquor, and that hits them pretty well, and then they're out.
Yeah. sometimes blacking out can be automatic.
Yep.
As Nick Frieda, our good friend, just walked in, I remember some questions that he had. We're going to ask, this was asked in the last one, we're going to do a fuck, marry, kill between myself, Kyle, and Austin.
Well, damn, this is a tough one.
I know.
I think, well, I definitely could not marry Kyle because he would just piss me the fuck off. So that would not happen.
I think
Austin I couldn't either because he's so fucking stubborn, our heads would just butt. So I think Sean would be in that category. I think I'd marry him.
Is this in the 5-year plan or?
It's not. As I said, it would be a female, not a male.
Damn. Okay. Well, we don't know yet, Sean.
And then
got my hopes up.
Yeah. And then either kill or fuck. It's a tough one. I think.
Kyle's kind of thick.
I think you're right there.
Kyle's got
some from behind. I think I probably. Unfortunately, Austin, I think I might have to kill you in this situation because you're pretty dominant.
I kind of predicted
but
that.
But I think I might be able to toss Kyle around in bed easier than you. So
how much
I think,
do you think about that?
I think that's the. No, it's kind
I'm
of
not sure this is the first time he's thought about that, and that's
came
the weird
spot
like
about
Austin would like critique you and stuff
yeah.
too. He'd be like, "You need to go harder, like slower, like
anyways,
not in all the way."
Yeah. Well, see, I'm giving him more interesting response here than on our previous hot
yeah,
seat, where
no,
Austin
been,
is not.
You've definitely been
trying to
much
give you more detail here.
Yeah, I'm disgusted.
Get the fans what they want.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I've been fucked by both of my co-hosts on this show, so that just shows something.
In the fuck, marry, fuck, kill.
Not literally.
Not literally. No, the edit that's going to be...
I mean, maybe there's a trend going.
This just got weird.
In the marry, fuck, kill, I've been theoretically, hypothetically fucked. So, and that
shows.
It speaks that I am very attractive.
Incorrect.
With a poor personality.
Incorrect.
Do you actually believe that?
No.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to our final question. I think anyone who has ever spoke a single word to you knows you have a very distinct vocabulary. Can you explain the meaning behind some of the phrases you use, such as douche cock or chiyaga or chur?
So, I have to correct you. It's not chiyaga, it's chiyaga.
Thank you.
But
sorry.
Anyway, so first, douche cock. That didn't really originate from me. It originated from my buddies who goes to Michigan State. His name is Casey. I think I might have mentioned him to you guys before, but
yeah, he seems chill.
Yeah, he's a pretty chill guy. So he kind of just brought it up to me one time. He just says, "Dude, you're such a douche cuck," and I really don't know what it means, but it's kind of a cool phrase to say when you are joking around or kidding with people. You're like, "You're such a douche cuck." Not really a big origin behind that one, but the other ones, you guys obviously know. You've known it for the last couple years. Chiyaga and chur. So chur was started by, it's a slang, I believe, in Mexico, and it means, like, sure. That's the technical origin behind it, but I use it for, and it's kind of the same thing. I just use it when I'm, like, sure. To say sure, I go, cheer.
Sure.
And sure is a just shorter abbreviation of that, so you can get it across, and people know the point. And then, recently, what has emerged is chiyuga. I think it's kind of more just of a joke here in our house and kind of people I say it. I don't even know really what it means, but chiyuga.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like one of those sayings. It's just like eureka or aloha.
Bingo.
Yeah. Just
kind of just say it when you're feeling it.
Yeah. When the mood strikes.
What about another saying like zapped? Like, are you zapped? Or what's another thing you would say when someone...
One of my favorite guys, Bob Menery, he says zapped all the time. It kind of means you're just, you know what it means.
But like,
I think he's on the show next week.
Yeah, we might get Bob Menery on the show next week. Not sure yet, but.
Do not hold us to that.
Shoot him a DM on Instagram.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
We're probably pretty high priority.
He's struggling.
Got any more questions for me, or is that it?
Anything else?
What's one thing that you've never done at Miami? It could be partying related, eating related, maybe academically. What's one thing you've never done at Miami that you hope to do or accomplish this year, being it your senior year?
Academically, I've never done. I don't know. There's not much I haven't really done academically. Well, I mean, graduate, I guess. That'd be great to do that and be able to get out of here in 4 years. I'm trying to think. Partying-wise, I don't know. I feel like I've been through a lot of it. I guess maybe... Oh, here's one thing. Getting into CJ's, since I've never been to CJ's. That'd be one thing I wanted to do, since they are pretty strict on getting in. So hopefully that will be able to happen. We'll see. I know they're pretty weird about their reservations, and they have a lot of different things that are going on throughout the year with them, but we'll see what happens with that.
All right, I think that was good.
To that, I say chiyuga, guy. And we will move on to our final segment, group of segments for the show. And that's just our personal updates. All right, so first topic is we went to Brick Street on Saturday, and it kind of sucked. And this was because we had to be seated, which is like every other bar. We had to make a reservation to be seated, and it was just kind of like boring. There wasn't anybody there.
Well, here's a little background, too, about it, is that usually on Saturdays for the last, you know, 3 years we've been here, this thing called Beat the Clock.
Yeah.
You go, and essentially how it works is you can get a pitcher of beer based on the hour it is. So if it's if it's 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock hour, get a pitcher for 1, 2, 2, and 3, 3, and so on. You don't really stay that long after that. But what Brick did this time is that they don't have any deals going for some reason. We kind of think we know the reason, probably because they're not making enough money, but it still doesn't really make any sense why they aren't doing it.
Well, they aren't making any money, so that's why.
Well, yeah, but they're going to lose business either way. Like we said, we probably aren't going to go back there really for a bit.
Well, yeah, but
I'm not going to pay $5 to get a Corona when I can get a six-pack of Corona for $9.
It's simple economics.
Yeah, simple maths.
Well, supply and command.
Command?
Yes.
According to who?
Don't worry about it. All right. So, yeah.
And here's another side note. Is Sidebar, which is a bar that's next to Brick, if people don't know, is that the new Brick?
Absolutely. It is. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time at Sidebar these past couple weeks back at school. I really like the atmosphere in there. You know, you can go outside, you can be inside. There's nice bartenders. One of them went to our alma mater, St. Ignatius. So just the atmosphere is much better there, I think, at this point. You know, I was never the biggest fan of Brick. Everyone, you know, loves them and, oh, Brick. But, you know, I think maybe someone's finally, you know, knocking on the door. Some good competition.
Ooh, that's a hot take, maybe.
A dark horse.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Out of nowhere.
I could see it. I've always thought Brick was kind of overrated, but especially now that basically all bars have to follow the same rules. There is nothing really special about Brick since everything is pretty much the same. So I'd agree. I think I like Sidebar better than Brick, but I've never thought Brick was all that to begin with.
Oh, yeah, true. And I, you know, just thought about this recently, but the owner of Brick actually runs Sidebar as well. So that's something to think about.
Maybe he's putting too much time into Sidebar, not enough time into Brick.
Too many eggs in one basket, as they would say.
Also, kind of with the bar scene, do you think house parties will be kind of the MO for this year?
For this year, definitely. Just the fact that I think there's more leeway in terms of what you could do. And, I mean, I understand it's mandatory and whatever, and it should be more in public, but just generally speaking, it's not necessarily the greatest experience to always have to have, like, mask on or just like always having to be sitting down. Like, it's fun to play games or just be able to control the music as well too. So I think house parties will be better for this year.
I'd agree with that. I think there's more options for you when you go to a house party, because when you go to the bar, you're very limited into what you can do. You can only just sit there and basically have a conversation. There's not much else you can do. I mean, you can go to the bar, get a drink, and go to the bathroom. But when you go to a house party, you want to make sure you're staying safe, everything like that. But
you can play games.
You can play games. Yeah. You can have more fun. And I think it's a better experience, too, because when you go to the bars, even when they were normal, oftentimes they're just overcrowded, too many people there, hot, sweaty. So go to a house party, there's a lot less people, usually people you know. So you have a better time with closer friends, I'd say.
I agree.
All right, speaking of games that you can play, we had some good games that we played this past weekend. Starting on, I believe it was Friday afternoon, we played a 91 cup game of beer pong. We just called it 91 cup. Basically, it was this huge ass triangle of just
13 cups in the back.
And 13 going up into a triangle. Maybe we'll post the picture on the Instagram of what it looked like. But it was fun. It took us probably about an hour to play, I'd say, maybe a little bit over an hour. And it came down to, like, you would think, okay, maybe one side would still have, like, you know, 10, 15 cups on the table still left to go while the other team wins. No, it came down 1-1, which kind of just shows that our house is pretty good or pretty evenly matched. So that was fun. So that was good. Anything you guys like to add about that?
Yeah, I would just like to say, because I think someone mentioned something about like running pong or something on this house. That's not true. That's a fallacy. I think we are all pretty even pong players, despite what might have previously been said.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yes.
End up being pretty even. However, it was a little different in this one, as for some of the rules, the ball's back, you need all three people on your team to hit the cup, and some people, I believe, were struggling within the game, but some others weren't. However, I think everybody contributed pretty well on both sides. Also, interesting thing is it's not as easy as you think to hit cups. A lot of them just rim out and things like that, even when there's 91 cups on the table.
Well, for the first, like, first few rounds...
For the first few rounds...
You got either probably usually, like, 3 of 3 or 2 of 3 for the first, yeah, like, few rounds.
But even when it gets down to, like, 65 cups, yeah, 60. It still was rattling around and... It was very interesting. I think there was also a little wind out there, so it made it a little tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was dragging the ball either
blame
direction.
Blame the wind, David.
I mean, my team ended up winning, so I didn't blame the wind.
It's a little excuse machine.
And then today we had our first annual wiffle ball game.
I think a lot will
be annual.
More will be. not annual. Weekly.
Year. Yeah, weekly. Yeah. Maybe weekly.
Ooh.
Maybe. Could be weekly. Bi-weekly.
Maybe.
Monthly.
Yeah, it'll be cool going out there in January. Yeah. We'll play with a snowball and a bat.
But see, that game also showed how equal the teams were. We kind of randomized the teams there and played a 7-inning game. And it ended up being 7-7 going into the bottom half of the last inning. And the team was Dylan, Sean, and Nick. They ended up winning on a base hit. But it was pretty even throughout. Pretty solid pitching performances between all the guys who were on the mound. However, one player, particularly Austin Galinas, showed he was a pretty solid hitter, but he did struggle in the field a little bit. And additionally, one of the guys, Dylan, he had trouble not hitting people.
He was good at getting out of jams. But at the flip end, he was not a very good hitter. I don't remember him getting on base safely. He might have one time. I'm not sure, though.
I think he did get on one time at least.
But
he also hit you three straight times.
Yes.
I think that was definitely intentional. I mean, I know that if I were out there, I would definitely be trying to aim for you guys. You know, keep you off balance. Just makes the game more enjoyable for me, certainly. But yeah, shout out to Nick Frito. I believe I mentioned him earlier, but yeah, he had the walk-off hit. That was pretty exciting. We're going to need to get a new bat, however. The bat broke.
And ball.
Ball broke, too. But maybe it just speaks to the strength of this collective group.
Yep.
All right, so next topic and final topic of today's show is next week we have the much-anticipated Subway 3-foot-long challenge in 5 minutes for David. If you don't know, David has to eat 3 Subway foot-long sandwiches in 5 minutes, and if he does that, he wins the bet, and I have to pay for his meal. If not,
there's also potentially some side bets on this table.
Potentially, yeah. For him to try and win money here, which he's probably not going to get it. I really don't think there's any way he does 3 footlongs in 5 minutes. Anyways, yeah, that's next week. Thoughts going into it, David?
Do you guys think you could put a poll up on, like, Instagram? I want to see what percentage of the viewers think he's going to do it.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
We can do that.
Good thought.
And then, speaking of that, I definitely think there'll be some side bets going. Maybe put, like, an over-under. Maybe put, like, how if we extended it past 5 minutes, like, how long it would actually take. But
that will not be needed.
Okay. He's walking tall.
I think he's going to get two.
Just two? Two and a half? Three? No.
Two. Well, no. Actually, I think there's a 10-ish percent chance you do it. And you'll 100% yak a lot. But you will definitely do it, even if it means yakking everywhere.
Yeah, there's no chance you don't yak. And there's a small percent chance you start choking.
Put wagers on that one. What's that? Minus 1,000? I yak?
At some point, you'll yak. And there's a chance that he does win. But there's also a chance he does start choking. And Austin will need to be the CPR correspondent.
If I'm wrong, there's no pause in time if choking
happens. I will not be pausing the clock, if that makes any difference.
It's a running clock.
I mean, one, that won't happen. But two, if it does happen, I'll get right back up and eat them all down. Get them all down.
Maybe I'll just take my time in giving you the Heimlich.
I don't think you want to do that because I might not be dead by then.
Would choking mean that you're a fraud?
Yeah. Maybe a capper?
I mean, I won't choke.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. Everyone does. I mean, regulation here too is that, you know, I have to have, I'm going to have lettuce, I'll probably have tomato, a meat, and a sauce on it. That's it. Those four things.
Well, cheese too.
Well, cheese, yes, and a sauce if I want it. So, and I can switch up whatever I want in each sandwich.
Well,
the
bread's going to be, we have to do an Italian bread, an Italian or
wheat or
whole,
if you want whatever
wheat
it is.
Or whole, yeah, whatever it is. You can't do a flat bread.
Yeah, I know. We already established that.
The bread is going to be the toughest part for you, I believe.
And also, by the way, how I'll be able to have water or whatever liquid I would like to help it get it down.
I mean, you can go into it thinking it's going to be pretty easy.
I never said it would be easy.
No, but you're very confident that you would be able to do it.
I mean,
as someone who has eaten a lot before, I know that it's very difficult. So I'm just looking into the preparation that you're going to be taking.
What have you eaten a lot of?
I've eaten over 5,000 calories per day. So,
do you have any?
How would you prepare?
I mean, I know you've told me recently that the week or so leading up to it, I would need to eat a lot every day to prepare to expand my stomach.
Correct.
So I would be able to down those 3 subs. So far today, I would say I've eaten a pretty decent amount. So I'm trying to get on that trend of yours. Hopefully that tip will help me out. Anyone else have anything to say here?
I think that's it for me.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Season 2, Episode 1 of The Weekend Hangover. We will see you next week.